Good morning. It's April 22nd and this is your daily brief in Australia News. Here's everything you need to know. In a show of solidarity and remembrance, the community gathered at Bondi Beach for a candlelight vigil, paying tribute to the lives tragically lost at Westfield Bondi Junction. This poignant event not only honoured the victims, but also cast a light on critical issues such as mental health support and police response effectiveness. The vigil commemorated six individuals, including a valiant police officer whose actions brought the attacker's spree to an end. This officer, New South Wales Police Inspector Amy Scott, was celebrated for her bravery as attendees reflected on the incident's impact and the collective grief it spurred. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese lent his voice to the chorus of support, acknowledging the deep wounds inflicted on the community and the importance of coming together in times of crisis. The gathering was marked by speeches and music, culminating in a minute of silence that enveloped Bondi Beach in a somber yet comforting embrace. This atmosphere of calm and respect underscored the community's resilience and the shared resolve to support one another. Amidst this, news of a 9-month-old baby, injured during the attack but now released from the hospital, provided a glimmer of hope against the backdrop of ongoing recovery for 5 other hospitalised victims. Looking ahead, the incident has catalysed a major coronial inquiry, bolstered by up to $18 million in funding. This inquiry aims to dissect the adequacy of mental health funding and the police's handling of the attack, promising a thorough examination of the circumstances that led to this tragedy. Meanwhile, Westfield Bondi Junction has reopened its doors, signalling a step toward normalcy, even as plans for a formal memorial service and a permanent memorial for the victims take shape, ensuring that the memory of those lost and the heroism displayed will not be forgotten. In a stark warning from the heart of New South Wales, Treasurer Daniel Mookey has unveiled a looming financial crisis that could reshape the state's economic landscape. A staggering $12 billion revenue shortfall over the next 4 years sets the stage for a fiscal drama, with far-reaching consequences for the state's public services and its residents. The root of this financial predicament lies in a controversial redistribution of GST revenue, which, according to Mookey, has left New South Wales at a severe disadvantage, eclipsing even the economic toll wrought by COVID-19. This redistribution is poised to siphon off $11.9 billion from the state's coffers, a blow that Mookey argues could have been measured in the loss of vital public sector jobs, equivalent to 19,000 healthcare workers, 19,000 teachers, or 16,000 police officers over the next 4 years. Facing the prospect of a downgrade from the state's current AAA credit rating by Moody's and Fitch, Mookey has made it clear that the priority will be on supporting New South Wales families, rather than clinging to the prestigious credit status. A downgrade seems almost inevitable, signalling higher costs for the state when it comes to raising debt. Yet, the Treasurer is not without a plan. He calls for a re-evaluation of the GST distribution formula, advocating for a system based on population share, with the federal government stepping in to ensure smaller states are not left behind. In a strategic move, New South Wales is holding off on finalising key agreements with the federal government, including crucial funding for public hospitals and schools. The aim is to secure terms that are more favourable, ensuring that these pivotal sectors are not compromised. This decision underscores the gravity of the situation and the state government's commitment to navigating the financial turmoil with a focus on the well-being of its citizens and the quality of public services. In a recent turn of events that stirred the AFL community, the GWS Giants face a significant setback with key players Toby Green and Jesse Hogan receiving suspensions. This development comes at a critical juncture as the team prepares for an Anzac Day showdown against the Brisbane Lions. Toby Green has been handed a one-match suspension for high contact with Carlton defender Jordan Boyd during a recent marking contest. In the same game, Jesse Hogan also found himself on the wrong side of the rules, receiving a suspension for striking a Carlton player. These disciplinary actions have left the Giants in a tough spot, missing two crucial players for the upcoming match. Giants coach Adam Kingsley, who had been optimistic about Green avoiding suspension, now faces a dilemma. The team is considering whether to appeal Green's suspension, seeking to overturn the decision. Meanwhile, the AFL's focus on player conduct is further underscored by West Coast defender Tom Barras's one-match suspension for rough conduct against Fremantle's Michael Walters. The Brisbane Lions, gearing up to face the Giants next, are grappling with their challenges. After suffering their third consecutive home defeat to Geelong, the team is under scrutiny, particularly for their performance in wet conditions. As both teams navigate their respective hurdles, the upcoming Anzac Day match promises to be a critical moment in their seasons. In a landmark moment at the 60th Venice Biennale, Indigenous artist Archie Moore clinches the prestigious Golden Lion Award for his impactful installation, Kith and Kin. This victory not only marks a significant achievement on the global art stage, but also brings to light the deep-rooted stories and struggles of Australia's Aboriginal heritage through Moore's eyes. Moore's installation dives deep into his personal and cultural history, tracing back a 65,000-year connection to his Aboriginal roots. Through Kith and Kin, he addresses the profound loss of cultural memory stemming from centuries of persecution, making a powerful statement on the resilience and enduring spirit of Indigenous communities. The heart of Moore's work lies in its poignant tribute to the victims of institutional violence and neglect, incorporating official reports on the unexplained deaths of Aboriginal people in state custody. Representing the Kamilaroi/Bigambul people, his art confronts the uncomfortable history and ongoing racism faced by Australia's Indigenous populations, offering a space for reflection and remembrance. The Venice Biennale, a renowned international art exhibition, has chosen to focus on themes of migration and exile for its 60th edition. With over 80 countries participating, the event promises a diverse exploration of these pressing global issues until November 24, 2024. Despite the challenges posed by adverse weather conditions, Moore's historic win has drawn an increased number of visitors to the Australian Pavilion, highlighting the global interest in Indigenous stories and perspectives. Meanwhile, the Israeli Pavilion remained closed, reflecting the broader geopolitical tensions affecting the art world. Moore's achievement at the Venice Biennale is not just a personal triumph, but a moment of recognition for Indigenous art and its crucial role in understanding our shared history and humanity. In a recent speech that has stirred debate and scrutiny, former Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong touched on the nation's foreign policy directions, igniting discussions on the potential recognition of Palestinian statehood. However, it's her omission of the Ukraine war that's sparking concerns over Australia's commitment to one of the world's most pressing conflicts. Wong's address at the National Security College's Securing Our Future conference was expected to cover a broad range of foreign policy issues. Yet, the lack of focus on the Ukraine war, described as a paramount threat to European peace and in ATO's stability, has raised eyebrows. This oversight suggests a possible shift in Australia's foreign policy priorities, away from the global consensus on the importance of supporting Ukraine against Russian aggression. The diminishing global attention towards the Ukraine conflict, including Australia's waning support, is evident through reduced international assistance and a refusal to supply military equipment to Ukraine. This trend reflects a broader issue of declining commitment among democratic nations to stand up against aggressors like Russia. George Brandis, reflecting on the significance of Anzac Day, has called for Australia to reassess its stance and amplify its support for Ukraine. He emphasizes the critical importance of standing against aggression, drawing parallels with historical conflicts where failure to do so had dire consequences. With an update on Australia's support for Ukraine anticipated, The situation underscores the urgent need for democratic countries to reevaluate their role in supporting nations under threat. The debate surrounding Penny Wong's speech and Australia's current foreign policy stance highlights a crucial juncture for the country. As the world watches, the need for a decisive and supportive role in the Ukraine war has never been more apparent, stressing the importance of solidarity in the face of international aggression. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.